This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, folks. Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast. Final week preview. That's sad to say. Regular season preview, we should add.
Yeah.
MWR.com. Check out everything we do there. We have Thanksgiving week. We're recording a touch early, so you're welcome.
Listen to it on your drive home.
Exactly. Drive home, drive there. We're just going to get to it. We're going to get to tiebreaker scenarios. We did our research before with help of others, so we basically know what's going on.
Kind of. Sort of.
Yeah,
I don't think we can truly say what would happen just because it's math.
Yeah, but not math we can't do, math we don't know.
Yeah.
Because there's a chance, we'll get to it talking about Air Force, which will be right near the top. And here's what we're looking at this week. So bowl eligible teams, Utah State needs one to be bowl eligible. We need
CSU
to be bowl eligible to win. So there could be a bunch of bowl teams. If those two win, we'll have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bowl eligible teams. Not bad.
I think, no, it'll be 8.
Oh, Utah State, Air Force, Boise 3, 4, San Jose State 5, UNLV 6. Oh, you're right. Sorry, my mistake. But let's get to the first game. Utah State at New Mexico. New Mexico is a 6.5-point dog at home, which checks out. Utah State's 5-6, playing okay. I guess Utah State's still going Cooper Legault. is that the plan, as far as I know?
Was Hillstead injured against?
Yeah, remember they both played.
Well, they almost had a quarterback situation.
Well, they had, I think Terrell Vaughn threw a pass and some other random person. it's a mess.
Yeah.
It's working for the most part, right? It's actually not doing that bad. They're winning some games. They need, their running backs, obviously, their plethora of backs to do well.
I think that's the big thing. Hold on, let me pull up the game. Because I remember Faison got hurt against Boise State.
That's true.
But Davon Booth did go off, but no one else had more than 17 yards. So it's just a matter of, all right, if New Mexico can lock down Booth, are they just going to rely on the quarterback to throw past them?
So here's the thing from Coach Anderson. So Utah State enters the final week, question marks at QB after Cooper Legault. Remember, they both left injured. I thought it was just one. Excuse me.
Levi Williams is the starting quarterback for Utah State?
Well, that's why he came in and threw like 5 passes or something.
Yeah.
We should mention this game is Black Friday afternoon. Trust me, people, do not watch Jets Dolphins on Amazon. Just avoid that garbage. Do you want to watch Tim Boyle be quarterbacking? Throwing to game.
Can the Dolphins put 75 on the Jets so people will forget about Denver?
Defense is pretty good. No, sorry, that's not happening, Josh. No, you can't get off of that. No. But I will see. You will see Trevor Siemian, or who did I just say? Who's the other guy? I can't remember. I just said it.
I know, and I don't remember.
You're just going to watch Garrett Wilson be pissed about him dropping passes because the ball goes in his hands and he can't catch it. Whatever, I don't care. Don't watch it. Even though it's free, no, they're just going to put QR codes. Hey, scan this, buy this. No, watch this game. 1:30 local time on CBS Sports Network. But the Aggies have injuries at quarterback. So we could see Levi Williams. Because Blake Anderson actually said the other day, I think on Monday, obviously it's going day-to-day. Legon McKay, he also got banged up pretty good, he said. Levi, I guess a good thing, which he does make a good point, Levi Williams has started at Wyoming previously, and he started played last year at Utah State, and he's actually a true more mobile type quarterback. So it's not a bad thing, but it's also he hasn't played much this year. And so not sure about Fajon's status. Anderson didn't mention that. But can they still win if Levi Williams is your starting quarterback?
It's New Mexico, so maybe.
Hey, New Mexico's won 4 games. Do not disrespect Danny Gonzalez.
I'm just saying, like, you never know what – I mean, we either get the team that beat Fresno State 25-17, kept it close against Wyoming, or lost 3 straight to Boise, UNLV, and Nevada.
Ooh, yeah.
What they would say, it all depends on which Lobos team shows up.
And also if Kroski Merritt shows up as well within the huge game. He had 200 yards in Fresno State's victory.
I mean if New Mexico can have the time-consuming drives that they had against Fresno State, you know, give Kroski the ball and have him run, like, they have a chance.
They do have a chance. Because if they're down to their third quarterback, if Fajon is not healthy, what can Booth do? Because neither have been overly consistent all year. Mm-hmm. And Kroski Merritt, like, he's legit, dude. Like, I voted for him as the Doak Walker semifinals, but that got snubbed. That list. I'm like, I get 20 touchdowns for the Michigan running back, but he's not running the ball very well. Like, for total yardage.
That's the same as the Florida State receiver only having 500 yards but 11 receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's like those awards. Like, I voted, and not to go off, but I had votes every week for player of the week, best running back. There are times it's guys from the MAC or Sunbelt. Sunbelt does have 2 representatives, which is nice for Doak Walker finalists or semifinalists. But there's times like 200 plus yards, 4 total touchdowns. He doesn't win the award. I'm like, how is this possible?
Yeah,
and Notre and teams would submit guys in Notre Dame. One of the best ones all year, I think it was Notre Dame. They didn't necessarily put the current, because it's a week by week award for the Doak Walker Player of the Week, Running Back of the Week. They put in something for the season. He's accumulated this many yards. I'm like, this is a 1 week award, buddy. What are you telling me? Your total season stats for week 6? Nobody cares. Because they had like 88 yards, but like 3 touchdowns or something like that. Like few yards, but multiple touchdowns. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Sorry, if you have to put a qualifier, you're immediately not. I'm not voting for you. Yep. So the rushing defense for Utah State, I want to pull that up here to see how they could compare versus New Mexico. It's not great because they are worst in the conference of rushing defense. And this, well, sorry, this is yards per game. That's not always the best indicator, but if you go to yards per play, they're not last. Okay, they're near the bottom at 4.54. They are actually 7th in yards per play allowed. But the total yardage per game, teams will try to run a lot because they've given up 24 touchdowns on the ground. Teams will like to run 41 times against them. That's insane. That's as much as Colorado State teams like to run against them for some reason.
That's because CSU can't stop the run.
And a very neat Utah State. They're 4 game, 4 per play. I think it comes down. We'll keep it simple. We've already both said it. If Kroski Merritt does well, and if the Mexico's multi-quarterback system with Dylan Hopkins goes well with the 2 players back there, they have a chance to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaning Utah State. I think this is a weird game if you're actually going to put money on. I don't know what to do, really. Utah State's also had some weird results. I'd stay away, right?
I'm taking the under.
What's the under? I didn't see that.
61.5.
Ooh, that's a good play. Yeah, 61.5. That means you're saying it's like, what, 35-30 game?
Yeah.
Something like that. Well, 33-28. I think it's first to 30. And I don't know if New Mexico can get to 30 points. So I'm going.
I'd have more confidence in Utah State getting 30 than New Mexico.
Yeah, that's my point. Like Utah State this year, I don't count Idaho State, but they put up 30 on James Madison, UConn, Fresno State,
CSU.
I looked it back. CSU, San Diego State, Nevada, and yeah, right there. So I'm going Utah State to win. I don't know if they get the 30, but I think they'll cover it, but I think it'll be like 28-20. It'll be pretty close. But I think the under is a good call play on this one. I don't think New Mexico has enough firepower. Next game. These are only half an hour apart. What's the deal with Mountain West? FS1. Air Force going to Boise State. Broncos are a 6.5-point favorite despite new head coach. Taylor Green's the only quarterback now. They don't have Eric McAllister. George Lonnie and Ashton Jenty played last week. It's on FS1 at 2 local. This game is important for Mountain West title race because if Air Force wins, we'll start there. They are, as Brett Brigham says, he considers them a lock if they win. I don't know if I'd go a stone cold 100% lock.
I think it's about 70-30, I'd say. Because it all depends on what computer math comes up.
Yeah. So here's how it works real quick. So if the Falcons would be second place on their own if they win and the Rebels win. Simple as that. So where it becomes interesting is if there's a three-way tie between UNLV and San Jose State, which would mean this Portland would win. So the Mountain West is weird, which I don't like. So if they're tied at 1-1, which they would be because UNLV, Air Force, and San Jose State would have all beaten each other 1-1. Or had the same record, I should say. Instead of going to something like next common opponent, why are they, first off, Josh, why are they doing this? Is it next common opponent better than computer ratings?
Probably. Who would the next common opponent be, though?
I'd have to look and see who they've all played. Without having a vision to take some time to figure out, honestly, would have to look and find. I don't know off the top of my head.
But in between San Jose State... Let's see.
Why you look that up? The computer rating. So what it would be. So as of right now, these it'd be the BCS old BCS formulas like Colley Matrix, Anderson Hester, Massey, and Wolf. Not Sagarin. I thought Sagarin was part of that, but I guess not. So you need to be top two. So UNLV is at 28.5 right now. Boise 61.5. Air Force is 50. San Jose 67. So Air Force wins against Boise. That doesn't necessarily help them too much. Doesn't hurt them. But I'm wondering if San Jose, who's 67.25, beating 28.5 UNLV, would they jump Air Force? I don't know. I don't see it likely. Brent Brigham's like, it's almost for sure Air Force is in. I'm going like 90% because you never know because computer ratings include your opponent's opponent, those type of things. So it's safe to say they're in, but you can't guarantee it until later that night if San Jose State upsets the Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to find a common opponent? I was trying to help you out there.
I mean, I between Sandy, between Air Force, San Jose State, and Boise State?
No, San Jose State.
And Air Force?
Yeah, and UNLV.
And UNLV. All right, I was looking at Boise. That's my bad. Give me one more second.
Would it be Wyoming? Like the next highest rated team in the standings?
In the standings.
It could be Fresno. I know they all played Fresno.
Air Force didn't play Fresno.
Oh, they did not. Okay. I mean, it's Wyoming then, I'm guessing. Because UNLV beat Wyoming.
San Jose State didn't play Wyoming.
So Utah State?
Fresno State. No Fresno State.
Is it CSU?
No, because I think it's New Mexico.
Oh, and then they'll be in New Mexico.
No, it's not New Mexico. I think it's San Diego State.
Ah! Well, let me make sure. Now we got to check. Now I'm invested in like, who's playing who, because now we're at the end here. I'm like, what is...
I literally think like if it's between Air Force, San Jose State, and UNLV, it's San Diego State. Like, if head-to-head isn't before a common opponent, it's San Diego State.
Well, then never mind. That's weird. That's funny.
And then if they do common opponent and who beat them by them? Wait, never mind. UNLV didn't even play San Diego State.
Ah, there's not a common opponent. Maybe that's why they did it this way. Because there's no divisions. Huh. Well, maybe that's the right way.
I can't find a common opponent between all three of those.
Interesting. Okay, fine. Maybe they did get it right.
Oh, wait. No, Hawaii. Sorry. It's Hawaii.
But they'll beat Hawaii, right?
No, Air Force lost.
Ooh. Falcons are lucky because it used to be the common opponent. And then, oh, man. Interesting. Okay. So back to this game itself. So if Air Force wins, they're basically in. But can Air Force do it? Because they are a touchdown, almost 6.5-point underdog on the road. Boise played extremely well last week. Do you think with him having just Taylor Green and not looking over his shoulder, that helped him play better?
Probably, but they also took the ball out of his hand more.
Yeah,
which I think helped. Because I think I said this in the recap too. I think Avalos tried to force him too much. And that's not who Talon is. Because, it wasn't much time difference, but because it was about 30 minutes to 30 minutes against Utah State. But Boise State ran the ball for 350 yards. I mean, it was helped by four turnovers. If that's something they can do against Air Force and keep and basically try and even out time of possession, I think Boise State could cover that.
I think Boise's going to win because, honestly, I don't – like, Zach Clear is out, officially out. Like, not – even though Troy Calhoun said he's out for a while. He's not on the depth chart.
Well, hold on. Is this the out for a while, I'm going to show up at Navy out for a while? Or is this out for a while, out for a while?
I think out for a while if you're not on the depth chart.
Yeah.
And then the other running back, Michael, is out as well. And so – we saw how they couldn't hold the ball. They turned the ball over like it's rubber. Not rubber, but like oil on the football or something. Like they're trying to carry a oiled watermelon in the pool like you do when you're a kid trying to play those dumb fun water games. They can't hold on to the ball. They played multiple quarterbacks. They tried to throw the ball, not going well. I think Boise's just going to beat the pants off them.
I mean, Air Force defense is pretty good.
Okay, maybe I guess if I'm gonna maybe recalibrate, not just shoot off the hip. One thing to consider too: Boise, new coach, some motivation to play well, just for not necessarily for Avalos, but like, hey, we got changes. Let's go to prove we did it well. Was it a 1 week thing last week in their victory over Utah State? Because Utah State is not a bad team, and they beat the crap out of them. 45-10. And yes, I know there are injuries to quarterbacks and running back as well. But Air Force, they don't have a reliable quarterback or reliable running back. John Lee Eldridge III has been just fine this year. Nothing amazing that we thought he would be. The Air Force defense would need short fields, win the turnover margin to get this game. But if they're going to hand the ball off to Helani Genty, that takes away potential interceptions. Because when we throw the ball, only one good thing happens. There's two bad things that could happen. You either complete it, or it's a bad incompletion, which is bad, or interception, which is bad. You only got one good thing on a passing play. So, fewer passes for Taylor Green might be what they need. Mm-hmm. Maybe not beat the pants off, but I could see them winning by double digits. Like, I would not be shocked if this game ended up being like 30-13 for Boise State.
So the over-under is 46.5. Your score would be the under.
It would be.
I think this is one of those that's right on that line.
Mm, it's close.
Yeah. I think Boise will cover, but I think it'll be just barely. I think they win by 7.
It'll be close, yeah. So for Boise to get in, we didn't discuss that scenario. Let me have it up here. So I have my article I've written. I did make a tweak to it because I had aired it. So Boise State has to win no matter what. They yes. have to win. So if they lose, they're done because they'll have 3 conference losses. So Boise State must win. The Broncos are playing for a title with them winning and UNLV also winning. That is the only 100% chance, 100% for sure way they're getting in. The other scenario is a win and the San Jose State win over UNLV, and then it goes to computers. But that still seems likely they'll get in with computers if it's them versus San Jose State. Well, actually, I don't know. Hmm.
Is common opponent going to be a feature?
No, no. It's always a computer. But with the updated rankings of 61.5 for Boise, 67.25, if Boise beats Air Force, that's a 50, Air Force 50 rating. San Diego, San Jose is 67.25. UNLV is 28.5. I could see San Jose State getting ahead if they win and be a rematch, San Jose State, UNLV.
Yeah.
So there's a possibility, but their for surefire way is they need to win and they need UNLV to win. If San Jose State wins, it's iffy. And that way we won't know until Sunday night or Sunday during the day when they do the actually, I don't know when these come out, actually. But I think Boise will win. And they're a TBD for a title game. They really need UNLV to win. If San Jose State wins, yeah, it's going to be close. And I honestly think that difference, Josh, there's no way San Jose State doesn't jump UNLV.
I don't know if they jump UNLV.
No, no, I mean by beating UNLV, they jump Boise, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't see it. So your official prediction is Boise to win and cover?
Yeah.
Okay, give to Helani and Genty. All right, Saturday morning, afternoon, I guess. 1 o'clock Mountain Time, noon Pacific. The best game of the weekend, because Spartans are surging.
Best game of the weekend that is not being shown anywhere on TV.
Actually, I got corrected. I got, excuse me, it's on the Silver Sports Entertainment Network locally in Nevada, in Vegas. I'm like, you know what I meant, guys.
That doesn't count.
TV that could be seen. Yes, I can put on my screen. It's not a big deal. I can cast it to my TV. I can download the Mountain West app. I get it.
I mean, there's a chance it's being shown by Stadium, and I can watch it on Fubo. But that's not guaranteed.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works. I know Stadium does other Mountain West sports. But, well, you can put on the Mountain West network on TV. There's an app for that now.
Yeah, but it's the same thing as Hawaii. Who wants to use an app?
Well, I know, but Fubo, what's... Fubo is the same thing. It's a streaming app on your TV. What are you talking about? Same thing.
Yeah, but I can navigate different channels.
You can do multi. That's true. You can do.
I'm being lazy here.
Okay? No. You can do the quad box. You know what I did? Okay, this is such a thing. I do because I have Fubo as well.
Yeah.
I have Roku TV. Roku TVs do not do the quad box.
Nope. Apple TV does.
So what I go do? Spend $100 to buy an Apple TV. to plug in to my TV.
They won't. Everyone was plugging YouTube TV doing the quad box.
But.
And then it comes out. YouTube TV picks the quad for you.
Yeah, there was one a couple weeks ago with the alternate stream with Pat McAfee and one game. It's like that was two of the games, the same game. Like, who does that?
Yeah, it was like, no one wants to. Like, that's why Fubo is better. You can pick your four.
Yeah, and so I bought Apple TV for $100. Plus, also, if I fast forward through games, this is all nerdy technical stuff. On Roku, the remote or my phone. I usually use my phone because my soundbar blocks the little sensor. If I watch a game on record or if I'm behind, it takes too long to catch up on the phone to do the 15-second skip. Apple TV, perfect. Boom, boom. Next play. Boom, boom. Next play. If you're catching up or you're watching it, excuse me, on delay or something. So there's a plug for Apple TV and Fubo. But yes, the multi-view quad box, you can do what you want. So that's true. You cannot do that with this game, but still watch this game. It's noon local time. Here's a good thing, Josh. There's no other Mountain West game surrounding not till 6 hours later.
Yeah.
So, watch this game. You know what you can do? Put Ohio State Michigan on your tiny phone next to your giant TV. And keep an eye on that, I guess, if you want to go that route. But that game actually will be over by then, because that game's at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Rebels are a 3-point favorite.
over under is a 15.5. Can we just take the over now and be done with it? There's no way this game's not hitting 60 plus easy.
Yeah, looking at the other games, yeah.
Just because San Jose State, what they've been doing the past little while, and we know what the game comes down to, which player, Josh, needs to do well for Spartans to win?
Kyrie Robinson.
Exactly. Is he going to have another huge game or not? They have won 5 in a row. They are, like, this could be a team, if they get a title game, they could be my pick where I had early in the year, like their preseason shows. I'm like, I got San Jose State as my team to win it all. They have, in this game, they have, let's see, this, even though they're 6-5, this game is pretty even because quarterback play is pretty comparable. I would put Pierre Passer, Cordero, better, but obviously Ricky White's a better receiver. Running game, San Jose State has more big game potential. Kyrie Robinson does well, obviously. And then you have like Jet Thomas, UNLV. They have a bunch of guys who run the ball. And San Jose State has, oh, who's the other guy they have? Shoot, what's his name? Quali Conley.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have him. So they have a couple guys. And he had 112 last week at a TD. So the running game probably edges San Jose State if they can get it done with Kyrie. Receiving group, top end talent, not a chance, close to UNLV. This game's going to be intriguing because Spartans are playing how I thought they'd play. Like, Shavon Cordero doesn't throw the ball away. He has 17 TDs. He's been sacked a good amount at 18 for the year. Like, Nick Nash, it's wild that Nick Nash is the leading receiver, the former quarterback, with 8 touchdowns and 44 catches.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So how do you think this is going to play out? Because this is going to be – I think this game is going to be wildly entertaining.
It will probably come down to Kyrie Robinson. So I'm going to tell you, with the exception of the San Diego State game, every other win that San Jose State has had this year, Robinson has gone for over 100 yards on the ground.
Exactly. That's what he does.
All of his losses has been less than 100.
Yeah, that makes – okay. Yeah, that's kind of what we've been saying the past couple years. And when he does well, they do well, which it's something to say, but it's a trend. So, all right. I don't know, man. It's who's going to stop Ricky White? Can anybody?
Let's
70 catches. We know what he could do. Scored 7 touchdowns. Blitnikoff semifinalist. No, he was not. Sorry, excuse me. Not a semifinalist. I voted for him. As a semifinalist. I mean,
they'll probably put Javion Cole on him. I mean, he has 3 interceptions and 8 passes defended on the year.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
They'll probably bracket coverage just to make sure, but I don't think you can really stop him because he's been getting bracket coverage all year.
Yeah. If they could slow him down, all they really have is him and they have like 2 receivers, that's it. They don't have, if they have to go to the 3rd progression, it's going to be a problem.
I think because he's a freshman quarterback, he's not used to the system yet. I think it's one look and dump off or run. those are the options, I think, unfortunately, for UNLV. And if he can take, if they can get to the quarterback quickly, they, you know, take him off his, you know, off his game and contain him from running, I think the Spartans can win this one.
Maybe I'm going to UNLV. Is this also hold on, where's this game be played? Is this Allegiant Stadium?
Yes.
I think they're gonna win UNLV. But I think it's gonna be first to 40.
Wow.
Is that too bold?
Clicked on the wrong thing once. Because I have to look at the line for this game because I clicked away from it.
It's -3 for Rebels.
And the over-under is 58.5, and you're saying first to 40?
Yeah, this is going to be a shootout, man. Why not?
I mean, I said the same thing for the CSU-UNLV game. That game ended up being 48 points.
Well, you were wrong that game. I'm not going to be wrong.
I said that game was going to touch 70. It was gonna
touch 50. You mean the one with 6 field goals?
Yes.
Hey, guess what? You were close when you're getting that close.
I mean, if San Jose State can hold them to field goals, I mean, because they've, over the past 5 weeks, they've been held. San Jose State has been holding teams to 15.2 points per game.
Ooh.
So, I mean, if they can hold UNLV to field goals, they can travel up and down all the. Ricky White can have games. You can have 200 yards. But if they aren't converting touchdowns, I think San Jose State wins.
That's fair.
If the Spartans can hold UNLV to field goals, they win.
Now that makes sense because I saw their CSU where they had them right there. I still think there'll be a lot of points. I think your assessment's correct if that's the case because we've seen that happen for UNLV. I think they'll break through and score points. I'm going to go UNLV to win. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go 40-35. UNLV wins.
Okay.
You can give a score prediction, or just get what do you got here?
I'll take San Jose State to win. I'll take the over as well. I'm not sure what the line will be.
Okay, that's fair. I think the over is pretty safe to take. So you mix that with the under for the other game, you're good to go, right? Under versus Utah State of Mexico. And then you mix in a random boost for Wyoming outright because they're probably heavy favorites because they are 11-point favorite on the road. That game's at 5.
Only -425, which is surprising.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay, that's good value. If you want to add it to like a parlay or something.
Yeah.
So Wyoming 6 p.m. Pacific at the Mackey Stadium in versus Nevada. Wyoming 7-4, Nevada 2-9. Over.
I have to ask. Can we ask the commissioner to introduce flex scheduling?
Ooh.
Because this should not be on CBS Sports. San Jose State UNLV should be on CBS Sports.
Of course. 7 o'clock's not too late. I definitely agree. We should do it. I don't see why. I know why, but why can't I know the Mountain West holds Fox games, like FS1, Fox, FS2, all that stuff, has a 6 or 12 year hold. Why doesn't CBS Sports Network have that?
Because they're cheap.
You think it's just a travel thing? We're buying our tickets in advance. They're flying Southwest to Reno from wherever they're bringing the guys in.
I mean, could be.
It is probably. Well,
no. I shouldn't say CBS Sports is cheap. Fox Sports is cheap because they have their one crew that does the remote games.
Yeah, too often. Yeah. But the 6 day, like, I guess the only reason there's no hold is because that's the only network they have, right? So Fox, FS1, they could decide and shuffle based on the better game. So, yeah,
which is why we see a lot of the 6 day stuff.
Yeah, because they got Big 12, Big 10, and stuff. So, but this game itself, is this Ken Wilson's last game as Nevada head coach?
More than likely, yeah.
Did you also? Oh, we'll get to the next one later. In a moment, we'll talk about that for the San Diego State game. But do they? I don't know. Do they have money? Like, I don't understand. Like, what's the deal?
I mean, they weren't supporting them when Norvell was there. They're barely supporting them now. Maybe they take some of the basketball money.
Steve Alford. They need money to exterminate the bats, so I don't know if they have the money for that.
just hire the coyote from San Antonio.
There you go. Also, it should be noted, Brendan Lewis is getting the start over AJ Bianco because he got injury.
I was going to say, Bianco got hurt.
Yeah, wrecked. So, yeah, he's still meeting with doctors. He's pretty sore, but it seems unlikely he'll even be able to play. So they're back to Brendan Lewis. Is Craig Bull going to be coaching beyond this game, too? He's not going anywhere, even if they lose, right? 7-5, he's still coaching next year, correct?
If he loses?
Yeah.
To Nevada? If he loses to Nevada, I don't want to say the Lane Kiffin him, but he's not, I don't think he comes back next year.
Man, okay. Just wondering, okay.
If they lose to Nevada. If they win, I say he's back, but he'll be on a short leash.
I think so with that, like this game, Wyoming's going to win. Nevada's not very good. Like without Bianco to do anything, we know what Nevada doesn't do much. Brendan Lewis will run a little bit here, their quarterback. They'll find Sean Dollars to do a couple of things here and there. What are they going to do with the money situation? Like, I don't know. It's weird. But Wyoming, like they're going to win. No question. I meant to say Wyoming coach. They're like Craig Bull's literally like their most successful coach ever, just about right, like up there. Should fans be okay? Like they're 8-4 every year, 7-4, 7-5. They reach a point where they're kind of just stuck and not getting above where they think they could be after Craig Bull kind of leveled the ship when like Dave Christensen and those guys are long gone.
I think the issue is. I don't think a lot of teams would have a problem being 8-4, 7-5 if they were, you know, competing for conference championships.
Yeah, Miami's done it once with Josh Allen.
Yeah, and so, I mean, he's been close, but, you know, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
And I also think, I meant to look it up, like the amount of NFL players they've gotten out of the program. I should look at the number, but guys like Chase Roulet starting, like offensive lineman, obviously Josh Allen. Brian Hill's gone with the Falcons to another place. Andrew Wingard has done good things. They've had Tyler Gentry. They've had a number. Logan Wilson with the freaking Bengals is tearing it up in the NFL. The amount of NFL draft picks they get, I'm trying to look at the numbers compared to the Mountain West. I don't know if Sports Reference has that, but they do a pretty good job getting guys to the NFL from the conference, right? Like, the past couple of years, they had Chad Muma, obviously. Yeah, Cash Malaya, Logan Wilson, Marcus Epps, Josh Allen, Chase Roulet, Brian Hill. Even guys like Mark Zoka, I don't remember him. Robert Heron, that's right, I forgot about him. Markeeson Huff, I think, in 2014. Like, they've had a handful of guys, like, do well. Like, that's a pretty good amount for draft picks, right? Like, compared to everybody else.
Yeah, they've had some, you know, free agents too.
Yeah, I just look at drafted guys. Like Wingard went from undrafted free agent to starting week one, I think, for the
Jaguars,
yeah. And so they get players in the draft. They get people taken. They just, when you have that talent and you're not quite there, and it's also been hard, to be fair, you're in a division to Boise State and Air Force. Have always been better than you for the most part. So that's hard. But at some point, they got to get above. But I think also, Josh, like the offense is not fun to watch. Like, if they're to bring in a good offensive coordinator and get a quarterback, like they tried to help Wadden sign, which didn't really work with the Josh Allen thing. He's coached Josh Allen and Carson Wentz. You can't get a quarterback to Laramie? You've coached two guys who are really high draft picks in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we had the Hawaii game was probably an aberration. It was like, this is probably, you know, a one-off once a year thing.
Yeah.
But if they had something, we constantly say it. It's like they just need consistency at the position, and that isn't something they've had since Josh Allen.
What? And even then, he wasn't great.
Yeah, but you know, he was average consistently.
He made big plays, ran well. Yeah. Threw for 57% of the passes. They just need to go find some hot guy, a good FCS offensive coordinator. Can he get an OC from the Sun Belt who's doing something good? I don't know. Can he grab a QB coach from a big-time conference to come in and say, you take over the offense and let's throw the ball?
They've had skill position players who got in the NFL. It's not all defenders. I think, I know we're not talking about the game specifically because they're going to roll over Nevada and get 10 sacks or something possibly. But I think they're not going to make any coaching changes this offseason. It'll be all the same because Tim Polasek will be fine because they're going to win 8 games, maybe 9 games. And why make a change if they're at 9 wins?
All right, let me ask this. With all the discontent coming out of Wyoming, does something like the Brian Ferentz contract stipulation happen?
No.
I don't know what that stipulation would be, but does something like that happen?
No, they just need, to be honest, throw the ball a bit more. He always says in spring football he wants to throw it, show us. Go get a quarterback who, okay, I have a perfect guy here. So I don't know if this is going to happen. This is all me hypothetical discussing. So there's, okay, at University of Utah, which I know quite well, Cam Rising's returning, right? He's going to play a millionth year in college football. Their quarterback room is deep. They bring in a really good freshman, Isaac Wilson. They have – there's two guys who I could see that could maybe fit well with. They just got Bryson Barnes, who, if you followed all, he's been starting this year. Kind of interesting situation. Small-town guy, finally got a scholarship. He played in 2 Rose Bowls, almost beat Ohio State, beat USC this year. You have this other guy, Brandon Rose, who got hurt, who's pretty highly regarded, and Nate Johnson. I don't think Bryson Barnes is going. He might stay because he's loyal. He's like, oh, I'm a Utah kid, small town, middle of the state. I'll stay here just because I played enough. I'm cool. Or he may want an opportunity somewhere else. I could see this guy, Nate Johnson, who I do chat with every week for the whole season. One of our players on our show, we interview him every week. He's from, he could also go, I don't think he's a good transfer, but he really wants to play quarterback. And he's played this year, didn't play amazingly well, pretty athletic, kind of got bumped down on depth a little bit for not passing well. That's a little bit issue. I could legit see a guy like him. He could go back home to Central California and Fresno if he wants to play quarterback there, but his tape isn't great. Bringing a guy like him who could run a bit to Wyoming, where like a Josh Allen type where he's athletic, and if he could figure out his throwing a little bit, maybe some type of player like that. I'm not saying him himself, but I don't see him sticking around in Utah because he's going to be like fourth on a depth chart unless he changes positions and he doesn't want to. So there's going to be, they need to find somebody in portal, somebody like that that could help, because if they're content on running, okay, have a guy who's mobile a little bit and move the pocket. Like, do what Russell Wilson does where he doesn't necessarily run, or when he was with Seattle more than Denver, he's seen a play. Like, he's not a running quarterback. He's athletic to move the pocket to throw, right? When he does good at his best, he'll slide around and throw the ball. If they can get a guy like that, maybe that can help open up the offense enough to do something like what Nate Johnson's done at Utah. He runs a lot. He's pretty athletic. His throwing could be better. Or even have Bryson Barnes, if there's any interest of him wanting to play quarterback somewhere else and start immediately. The guy beat up on USC. He's helping Utah this year. Going to win like 8 or 9 games possibly. He's done a reasonably good job. He's going to be QB4 next year.
I mean, I think they have someone like that a little bit. I have to look up how big Josh Allen is, but
he's like 6'5". Something.
He's 6'5", 250.
Something like that.
Because I mean, if they basically have someone, he's 6'5", 237. They basically have someone on their roster already that fits that mold in Evan Sabota. He's completing 61% of his passes. You know, he's just slightly mobile. He can move the pocket. I think they need to give him a shot next year. Like, he seems like that big arm, that big body, big arm quarterback that, you know, that Bulls offense looks for, that, you know, can make throws, but, you know, is mobile enough to run when called for. Like, I think they just, I don't know what fascination Bull had with Peasley. I don't know if he made him guarantees or something, or if he just didn't like what Spoda did. But I think he needs to be given a shot before they even look at anybody.
Well, is Peasley out of eligibility?
He's a senior. I don't know how much he has left.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm gonna find it. Yeah, I got it. I'm looking up right here too.
This is his sixth year.
This is probably done.
Yeah.
So maybe that guy is right, but I'm just trying to think if they wanted to go outside the box. Those are two guys who I think would be interesting. Plus, he's in Utah State, so he's done. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if they wanted to, yeah.
But it is who they recruited, but it's just all they got to do is find the guy in offense. Like, just say, do it. You run the offense. We're cool. Here's the kind of scheme I like the kind of run, but you're the expert. You do it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Wyoming's going to win and cover. Is he going to hit the over? It's 41.5. That's a good big question people want to know from us.
Probably not, unless something like Hawaii happens again.
I think the only way it goes to the over is if Nevada can get to at least 14 points.
Yeah.
But I could see this being 24-7, 24-10.
Something like that, yeah.
All right, Fresno State and San Diego State. Oh boy, these two teams are not very good at the moment. 7:30.
I have more faith in Fresno than I do San Jose State or San Diego State.
Yeah, that's a fair point. 7:30 Pacific, FS1, 46.5 is the under. If this was Fresno 3 weeks ago, I'd be like, easy money, take the over. Now I'm like, I don't know what to think, man. Fresno's been bad, like really bad. They get their butt kicked by New Mexico. They got thrashed by San Jose State. Wasn't even close. They probably could have lost to UNLV, but they pulled it off. I don't know what's going on in the past 2 weeks. Like, what's the deal? I know
we have to ask Matt that question.
I know the quarterback situation is not great with the two guys, like injuries and just not playing well. They don't have, like, LeVon, well, Bailey's playing well. The pick, that was a weird circumstance last week. That's just weird. He made a play, but then tried to make a play. I just don't know what the deal is. They've just been off the past 2 weeks. And it's just them, their rush defense has been garbage. I guess the one good thing, if you're San Diego State, they ran the ball pretty well last week. So if they keep that going, maybe that's an area where they can pull off the upset. But they're also, San Diego State's only given a 29% chance to win per FPI.
Yeah.
Fresno should win, right? This should be like a no contest, 2-touchdown victory for the oil can.
They should be in the operative word, but I mean, crazier things have happened. You never know with this team, with both these teams. I mean, anything could happen. It is a rivalry game.
Final game for Brady Hoke.
Yeah. I think Fresno State wins and covers. I'm not sure how it will happen. I don't even know if the over is going to hit, but yeah, I think Fresno State wins and covers.
They should. I think they should. I think they'll figure something out. They should be fine. Aztecs are bad. The only way is if the defense steps up, which their defense has still been okay, but not great. But if the running game gets going well, like it did last week. So before we move on, did you see? I'm pretty sure you put in the DMs or saw that Brendan Marion interviewed for the head coaching job at San Diego State.
Isn't that UNLV though?
No, I know. Oh, yeah, UNLV OC Brendan Marion interviewed. Yeah. Is that a good fit?
I mean, they've gone defense the past couple of times because you know they went Hoke into
Bob Davey.
Rocky Long, the Breck Brady Hope. They're trying to interview the Nebraska DC. I think they got to try something different. So, you know, going with Brett Marion, you know, this high powered offense that they're running, I got to give something a shot. I don't think going defense again, unless you are making that your permanent football identity and just being a defense first team, no matter what. I think they get, it makes sense to give something else a shot.
I would say if I'm Brendan Marion, I'm pretty sure Barry Odom's going to get some offers this offseason for, if he's not, like, we joked, like I get a monocle eyeglass emoji when I tweet out, PFF always puts out the top 10 running backs, power five only for breaking tackles, top this, power five. Yet in their bio, we cover 181 football teams in NC2A. I'm like, do you? Your tweets say otherwise all the time. Or we see these national awards for coach of the year or assistant coach of the year, no Brendan Marion to be found. There are some good guys on there, like ODCs and OCs, but they're not getting the recognition they deserve. But if Barry Odom, like we mentioned last time, he's younger than we thought, mid-40s, I would stay if I was Brendan Marion, because if Barry Odom leaves, wouldn't he be the most logical guy to be just promoted within?
Maybe, or maybe the AD goes back to the SEC connections.
Where's Eric Harper from again?
And she's from like Mississippi State or something like that.
Yeah, but they fired their coach, Zach Garnett. No, they're not doing that.
Do they bring Zach
Garnett? No, you don't do that. No. Excuse me. No way. He might be the USC defensive coordinator soon enough. He is from, I'm double checking here. Was he SEC Mississippi State guy?
I thought he was.
His bio mentions no prior job. He was, let's see.
Oh, he was. Wait, what? There's no way he didn't have a job. He's really the current, wow. Never mind. I was wrong. Maybe it's the president. Because the AD has been on the UNLV staff since 2012.
No, the AD's Eric Harper. He's new.
He joined UNLV as Associate Athletic Director for Development in 2012.
Oh, I thought you meant he had this job. I'm like, no, okay, maybe not. Okay.
I think he got promoted to it in 2012. Let me check.
Yeah, because he played football at Kansas State. He worked at Ashford University, where he got his master's, excuse me.
Wait, no, who was their old athletic director? I think that's
who. Francis, she went to, Desiree Francois.
Did she go to, like, what did she?
Big Ten school, I think.
No, she went to Missouri.
Oh, okay. Well, former Big Ten, whatever. Or Big 12, whatever you want to call Missouri. They're an SEC school somehow. It still seems weird. But
Maybe that's what I was thinking of, the SEC connection. But
okay.
I don't know.
But seriously, if you're married, wouldn't you want to not go to San Diego State and get better offers? Not that it's not a bad offer, and it's hard to turn down your first head coaching gig if that's offered to you. But wouldn't you wait? If you have a freshman quarterback, I know you're losing, I think Ricky White's gone, but you have two good quarterbacks, like a good backup and a good great starter. You have good running backs on this team. Why would you want to go anywhere for a moment? Like, even if he stays the OC, it'd be hard. It's hard to turn down your first head coaching gig, but it's also not as if he's going to an FCS head coaching job from there, even though he's at Howard before as the OC. It's not as if he's going to a school beneath what UNLV achieved this year to some random MAC school that went 2-10. I understand the OC has one conference win, but Aztecs have proven winners.
Yeah, and I think it may also come down to money, so it may also depend on how much. Because I know Barry Odom's getting close to $2 million, and Brady Hoke was only getting 1.2. So it depends on what is San Diego State going to offer him if Barry Odom leaves, what would UNLV offer him if they want him?
Or would he go with him if he goes to a big time school?
Yeah, there's that too.
Like, for example, we see jobs open. I'm not sure. Like, Barry Odom, he's, I guess, Midwest, technically, Missouri, Arkansas. What if Mississippi State wants him? Would Brendan Marion be smart to go within the Mississippi State to be their head coach?
It's a matter of, does he want the head coaching job or does he want to prove himself first?
Like, look at Ryan Grubb followed Kale on the board of Washington. But the Tedford thing is kind of already in place, obviously. So Brendan Marion right now makes that's his full contract. Hold on. This is my computer's being weird. It's not, I'm looking at the USA Today total, like their database here. The oh, there, I looked at it wrong. So, yeah, sorry. Total salary. He's near the bottom. I searched through. He's at $310,000 as their OC. But there's an asterisk next to it, whatever that means. So he's not like he's making fine money. Like that's not amazing money. But any job he takes, either head coach or OC at a bigger job, will pay him more money, obviously. So. Yeah, it's always a money thing sometimes. You never know. You know what I mean? Let's see. Oh, this is funny. So you click on the... I'm going to bring this up because it's interesting. They add a link to click on the salary. Income notes. Marion's total pay includes a $10,000 relocation fee described as faculty initial expense. So the moving from Austin to Las Vegas gave him 10 grand. That's funny. That's just listed that way. So, yeah. What would you do if you were him? Would you stay? Would you want to take over the Aztec job? It's a pretty good job. It's like a joke. I'm kidding, but it's a pretty good job, I think, to take if that's your first time head coach.
I mean, now that you're making me think about it, I'd probably stay in UNLV just because of roster construction.
Yeah.
Like you have better offense. You get another year to implement the system with guys you already know. You don't have to basically start over, which is what I unless like if they're going to bring in an offensive coach in San Diego State, they're basically going to have to overhaul that roster.
Yeah, and it'll take time too.
Yeah, because so it's a matter of is he an instant ramen coach? Does he want success now or later?
And will they be patient if it takes time to put in to fix the offense how he sees fits? Because if he's a smart coach, because we've seen it before, similar to what Brady Hoke did before. Because remember when they had, Hoke. It's weird because Hoke slung the ball around with Ryan Lindley. Remember he moved the ball quite a bit. He's wide open a little bit. He's changing that now. But when he went the first time to go over, I think it was for Chuck Long. I want to say was that the coach before I believe. Not Rocky Long. No, it was Chuck. It's whatever. It doesn't matter. He slowly built in his spread attack. But then, it takes a minute to get it going. If you do it right away, it's too hard. So I don't know. But back to this game itself. Fresno versus San Diego State, as we do a big detour here. I think if Fresno plays what they could, how they should win by two touchdowns with no problem. The past week's just been spooking me about what they could do.
I don't think there's anything that can. The only thing that can stop Fresno State this week is Fresno State.
Fair. I would take the under, and they're going to win 28-10.
That sounds about right. I'll probably go with that same.
So go to your betting app of choice to put that in and lock it up. No, whatever. Don't trust me with your money, people. Do what you want. Final game of the weekend. Colorado State at Hawaii. Spectrum Sports, your favorite, Josh. It's a T1 Sports app, all phone only, no TV. That's even worse than the Mountain West Network, but we know you'll get the link for it because it's out there.
I was say I'll find that link.
Is it what LSU Tigers put it out there? Is that who does it?
I think it's like LSUTigers.net or something, whatever that Twitter account is.
So if you want a link to watch it on TV or computer, some larger screen, they'll hook you up. Rams are a road 5.5-point favorite. How confident are you in that going to Hawaii and being a favorite?
More than they run.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more confident than I should be.
With bowl eligibility on the line.
Yeah, that is the other thing.
Are they going to do it? Are they going to get bullied for Jay Norvell?
I mean, it's one win at a time. This is the last one.
I think
yes, just because this, you know, this team believes in each other. I think this is, you know, the final shot to prove something to both the fans and themselves. So,
and also Hawaii's a bad football team.
Yeah, there's that too.
I would say when you look at what they can do, Hawaii doesn't do anything. We know they throw the ball. We know what they're going to do with Timmy Ching. They sling the ball around. Brandon Schrager's going to make some mistakes here or there. The best players on the field, Torrey Horton, Dallin Holker, Steve McGrath, all these guys. Well, yeah, for Hawaii side, I should say. But the best players are on CSU.
Yeah, the best players on the field are on CSU side.
Like Braden Shager, can he go toe to toe? I think he could with CSU in their passing game.
I mean, if we're saying this, they're both going to go toe to toe, both good and bad.
Yeah, exactly. Shager has
they virtually have the same stats.
Who's been sacked more? I'm looking at Shager here. He's been sacked 38 times.
Braden Fowler has only been sacked 11.
Okay, there's an edge. Also, the run and shoot, like I mentioned, I've gone ESPN Hawaii Radio probably a couple times this year so far. They cannot run the ball to save them life. Talon Hines, nowhere near last year, also has very few carries. Landon Sims leads the way with, 54 carries? 218 yards. I should look this up. I'm not going to do it now. I'll take too long. Odds are Hawaii has the worst rushing attack in the country by their leading rusher. Landon Sims has 218 total yards. There can't be another team that's leading rusher with that few yards.
Yeah, I'll say that take way too much time.
That'll take forever to look up, but I would be a good bet they're the bottom 5% easily.
Probably, yeah.
They do have Steven McBride. They do have Pulfele Ashlock. Both those guys are legit receivers. So they could wheel and throw their way to victory. But if you have guys for CSU, like they slowed down UNLV's offense for the most part. Yep. They hold them to a million field goals in that game, got to victory until they decided to, we'll let them get yardages until they don't. And they did get it and scored the game-winning field goal again for kick number six. I think CSU should win. I think CSU does need their running game to get going as well, because I think that would be helpful for them just to make it more balanced.
I mean, they've done so the past 2 weeks, you know, with the with the emergence of Justin Marshall being that one of the things I do like, things that have been pointed out about him is, you know, he's able to hit the hole, he's able to squeeze through because he's a little bit smaller. But I think he's been that quick burst back that CSU has been missing because, you know, Avery Morrow's been limited a little bit. Van Shield's more of a power back. I mean, Kobe Johnson was brought in to be that speed back, but he got hurt. So I think that's what has been missing from CSU's run game the first part of the year. And now that we're into that part of the year where you can start playing freshmen without risking the red shirt, now we're seeing what could potentially come from the running game of the future for CSU.
Yeah, I think the Rams will win. Weird things happen in Hawaii, but I don't see how the Rams... They have too many good things going for them compared to Hawaii.
And I will add, you know, Jay Norvell's not an unfamiliar guest in this game. He knows how to prepare his team. They're starting practice later. They're having they're having meetings after practice so that guys are used to staying up. Because the game is, you know, it's 9 p.m. Mountain Time, but it's in, so it's a 6 p.m. kickoff in Hawaii. You know, like he had I think he mentioned in one of the articles on CSURams.com, or I think at his press conference, they're like, yeah, against Nevada, when we were at Nevada, we would be great in the first half, but then petered out in the second because their bodies were about ready to go to bed instead of being used to playing a football game that late.
Now, that's the thing. Like, when I did stuff in college, I was on some team, and there are a couple of weekends on Saturdays where we have most of the meets we typically would be late afternoon, like 4 or 5 o'clock p.m., and our practice, that's not you don't need to adjust your practice time or whatever, but we'd have a handful of morning swim meets, like especially our championships were morning swim and evening swim, like prelims, finals. So certain times a year, we would adjust our practice time to practice in the morning, just so you're kind of used to getting up, you're ready to go. It is a thing that helps. And so hopefully that helps them out there. But I still don't see why I have enough to, like, yeah, Nicolosi has 15 picks. Not great.
Shager has 14.
That's what I'm saying. Like you mentioned, they're pretty comparable outside the sack yardage. Like, the running game's not great, but you mentioned Marshall doing a bit better. Receiving, is Horton even good to play? Like, he's always kind of banged up a little bit. Is he 100%?
He's not 100%, but he's going to play. I mean, he almost had let me look at Nevada real quick. I think he had like 100. He had a touchdown. He had 78 yards against Nevada. So it's not like he's good. He's going to play. I don't know if he's 100%.
Yeah. Maybe I was thinking about something else with him. But, yeah, they're going to win. And what's the line? I'm going to find. What's 5.5 for CSU?
Yeah, it's CSU 5.5. The over-under is 54.5.
I think this will be kind of close. I just kind of think it'll be just enough passing to kind of keep teams – to let the scoring increase. But I think it'll be 28-24 for CSU. So I don't know if they'll cover. I just – because we look at CSU's defense, it's been pretty good. Like 20 to Nevada, 19 to San Diego State, 24 to Wyoming. Maybe actually I'll go a little bit. So I'll go 28-13. I don't think Hawaii will get enough because Rams' defense is better than I thought throughout the year. So
I will say it's pretty similar to Nevada score. I'll say 31-20, just okay. Because at least one CSU mistake will lead to a Hawaii score.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, like it basically happened in the Nevada game. You know, there's that pick six right before halftime.
Yeah.
So it's just like something like that's happened in almost all of the games. So it's gonna happen at least once.
Definitely. All right. So anything else to add before we wrap up for our final week regular season preview?
No, I think all good for me.
All right, man. All right, we'll see you next time. So, okay, I ought to ask you, though. I always mention this. Is it – what do you have ham or turkey for Thanksgiving? And why does ham suck?
A, ham doesn't suck. We have turkey.
Okay. That's a better option. Good. I just don't get ham. I've never had a ham that's actually really good.
We have ham for Easter.
Yeah, of course. That's more of an Easter thing. Yeah, true. I've just never had one that's great. And turkey, it's like, it's fine. Whatever. I always had to ask because it's always – I was curious about it, so.
Well, I will add, like, I'm an East Coaster, so sometimes we have fresh ham.
Okay.
People out here look at us weird when we ask for fresh ham.
What's the difference? I'm not familiar.
Fresh ham is not cured.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
So this is like no salt. It's basically just the pork.
Wonder if I ever had that. Because I lived in New York for a couple of years. Wonder if I had that. I don't recall. I did have one good one, like a pineapple glazed one. But that's like the only one I've ever heard that's really good. So, typically I'm like, it's all good. Not a huge fan. But that's okay. If you like it, I'm not against you. I'm just going to always ask for people's opinion. So, with that, have fun. Have your best pies for Thanksgiving. Have your best turkey. Have your best whatever life you're going to have this weekend. Watch football. With the exception of the Black Friday Amazon Prime game, which is going to be a disaster.
Such stupid. Like, I don't even care if it was between good teams. That game shouldn't be there.
Definitely should not be there. Get out of here, NFL. I only watch certain teams, NFL, and even them, it's just sometimes. So, we'll see you folks next time. MWR.com. Share the podcast. Listen with your friends. And have a great Thanksgiving.